So last week's episode was supposed to be Rick and Morty, but unfortunately the service that we use to remotely record our podcast didn't pick up Garrison's entire voice track. So we're just going to jump right into Oddward. Thanks for listening.
Okay. So welcome back to Saga Podcast. These are your favorite two hosts, Sarah and Garrison. I am Sarah.
And I'm Garrison.
So today we're going to be talking about the newest film to movies, and this is called Onward, and it is a Pixar animation, very, very cute new animation. We tried to do this podcast last week when it had the early release, but unfortunately, because of my miscalculations, we weren't able to do it. So, we're doing it this week. Okay, so the plot of this movie. So two brothers, Ian and Barley, share an adventure into the historic past of magic when their father leaves them a gift from beyond the grave. The gift, a wizard's staff, and a spell to bring back their father for one day. Ian, the brother with the magical gift, speaks the spell and begins his father's magical reconstruction, when suddenly the spell breaks and the two brothers are left with just half of their father's body, the lower half. Without his upper half, how are Ian and Barley meant to spend the only 24 hours they'll ever have with their father again? They decide to go on adventure to create the spell and then to fully reconstruct their father.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
That's right. That happened. That's the plot. First impressions?
I thought it was really cute. But I've been getting into like Dungeons and Dragons a lot more recently, so I don't know. It was just like the little nuances in this movie really was like, oh, so cute.
I wouldn't know anything about that since you've never invited me, so.
What would you want to be?
I'm just kidding. It had lots of references to that kind of thing. They even had like a card game, which I guess was like Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
I guess, because that was basically how Barley knew what to do next.
And that's right. I didn't make that connection with Magic the Gathering.
Actually, before we dive into the movie, you want to talk about the awkward shorts before the movie?
So there's only one that I saw because, unless there were more. Was there more than one?
It was just one.
Okay, let's talk about it. Because I wasn't sure if you saw the same thing.
The Simpsons short?
Yes.
Like most Disney movies, it starts with an animated short, like a few minutes short. And this one, it was The Simpsons and a short about like Maggie, like falling in love or something. It was kind of jarring to see the Simpsons in like with Disney.
Because it's an adult animation.
Yeah, but because of the Fox deal, they now own them. They now own the Simpsons. So there's that.
Did you catch that like little kind of sub intro before the short that said, "Thank you for watching Disney Plus," or "Simpsons is now on Disney Plus or streaming," or something like that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Oh, okay. Well, they showed that and I was like, well, here we go. This is what we're doing now.
I mean, I'm surprised they actually gave the Simpsons that much attention to like a big project that we're working on. Like, I just thought that they would buy the Simpsons and not really do much with it, but they did the short, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, especially because it's like one of Fox's biggest money makers is The Simpsons.
Although I do wish they would have put more effort into the short, because it really just seemed like a part of an episode from a recent season, just kind of like it wasn't really like that funny or that engaging, really. It was just kind of there to me.
It was like Casablanca for Simpsons. So yeah, just not very engaging, like kind of boring.
Casablanca?
Yes.
The White House? Is that what that is?
What?
Casablanca?
Yeah. It's like a romance. Okay. Old-timey romance.
I'll just act like I know what you're talking about. Anyway, back to Onward. Onward, the movie.
Onward with Onward.
That's right. So my first impressions were that, like, the first few minutes, like when they were in the house, it felt really like fast paced, and I was kind of like disoriented and confused, and I was hoping, like, you know, this wouldn't be the whole movie, and luckily it wasn't, but it definitely kind of started kind of rough for me. And as for the rest of the movie, there were sweet moments in it, but not one of my favorites from Pixar.
Is there anything that stands out particularly about this that, like,
good or bad?
Yeah.
The ending was pretty strong. That was a strong choice, what they did there. I kind of liked the dance in the middle of the movie. I liked when the cops pulled them over and they had to, like, hide themselves. The chase with the fairies was pretty strong. But they, like, humor-wise, it just felt kind of like standard. Like, they, like, you could see the joke coming, and, you know, that's about it.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, I think for a kid with a fresh mind, you might go into it a little bit differently. But it's a very imaginative film, as far as like the different traits and what makes this so different. You know, it's not like Trolls, right? Because they don't really go into like different species. It's not like one of those movies where it's like this race against this race. It's not really about that. It's about this one character and his adventure, and it's not so much about like the big picture.
Yeah. So I see you have something in your notes here, and I wonder if what you meant was similar to what I meant in a similar note of of the mom and Officer Bronco.
Yeah.
Like the logistics of that.
There's like motorcycles going on outside. So I don't know if you can hear that, but
it's the fairies.
It's the fairies
for you.
So as soon as I saw that was her boyfriend, I was like, nope. Like, I automatically just threw up in my mouth. Also, there's a siren, just so you know. It was like too much cringe for me to handle. Like, just, and I don't want to put images in anybody's mind or anything about what, you know, what could be happening behind closed doors, but come on, it's a horse cop.
Yeah, he was a very very masculine to have.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know that. Yeah, let's move on. That's I don't want to think about that for too long.
Yeah.
But the mom is thick, though. Like, that's
she can probably handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that you said that. I was like, well, now that you say that, she could probably deal. She's probably fine.
Kind of makes your dad look like a bitch or something.
I was wondering about that the whole movie. I was like, is the mom gonna like want to spend time with him too? Because how awkward would that be for the Officer Bronco if, like, she kissed him or, like, showed any sort of affection to him. But they didn't have to do that in this movie. They just wiped it out completely. Good for them. Good for them. They didn't even have to deal with that kind of conflict. It's probably not appropriate for kids anyway, so.
All right. Speaking of the dad, it seemed like he was kind of sidelined. Like, he was didn't really, like, he wasn't really a factor. Like, he was there to, because they had to be somewhere, but in the middle, like, leading up to the end, he wasn't really there.
So I think maybe you're onto something, and it's that the whole idea of this whole movie was, like, Ian never really needed a father anyway because he always had Bartley. So the father in this is kind of sidelined because, well, he was never really needed anyway.
Yeah, that was a thought of mine. But something that kind of irks me is that during the flashback, when Ian was like contemplating about, you know, like he was checking off his list and thinking about Bartley, it looked like Bartley was like no more than 2 years older than him. And I'm not sure, like could someone that close in age be even like, what's the difference between like having a supporting brother and a father? You know, like, I'm having trouble, like, thinking of.
So, like, you worried about, like, why Ian didn't go to see his father? Or, like, you know, he tried to, obviously. But are you, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. It's, like, I don't think there's much of a difference between having that older brother there for you and having a father. Like, Bartley did an amazing job. And that's one of my notes here. I was, like, the relationship that he had with Ian, even though Ian was not always reciprocal of it, he was always loving and he was always supportive of Ian, no matter what. Officer Bronco, I don't think he could ever take the place of, like, Bartley. Never. Because he's not their dad, you know? Like, but Bartley, since he's in that older position, he can do that.
Yeah, but in a lot of ways, they state several times throughout the movie was that Bartley was kind of irresponsible and he, in a lot of ways, acted more like a kid than Ian did. So I think that's why I'm, like, having, like, trouble rationalizing why Ian... I mean, sure, he, like, looked after him, but... he didn't have like fatherly wisdom to really pass on to him.
Sometimes you don't have to just, like, be this all-knowing, omniscient father. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes all you have to do is just be there. Like, for example, my dad loves to give all kinds of wisdom, but he's rarely ever around. Would I prefer him to be around more often and then give me less, like, snippets of wisdom? Yes, I would, but that's not our relationship. He's very distant, where, like, Bartley's not. He's always there.
Okay. So another thing I have here was the quest. Like, it didn't feel, like, very grand. I mean, they went to a restaurant, a convenience store. They filled a tank of gas. They walked through an empty field. But I think maybe that was intentional because magic was, like, slowly waning throughout time. So people, like, basically obstacles were paved over and like smoothed out so, like, no one could get hurt, and which would make sense because Ian, you know, he wanted to, like, take the straightforward route, but Bartley wanted to take, like, the more quote-unquote dangerous route. So I think that was just, like, showcasing how, like, people have softened throughout time.
like how, you know, going, traveling 100 miles a day would be like impossible, you know.
Impossible. Yeah, like traveling 100 miles would be an entire journey back in the past, but now it's just like a few hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess from that aspect it makes sense, but like it's less interesting to experience to me.
Right. And I think that's a good point. I think that they tried to make it more interesting by giving Ian those magical spells and kind of like these trials and tribulations of like his fear and his ability to do them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot in this movie that it's very nuanced. Like, there's so many really good aspects about this film, but there's like a couple things I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, for example, this is my thing with like continuity that really frustrates me about movies, especially like some kids' movies. It's like there's this one scene when the cops are called on Ian and Barley because they run away during this car chase, and Officer Bronco calls for backup, and instantly backup was there. It was like, that's not, how did that, y'all don't use magic, so how did that happen? Like, I don't get, where did that come from? And so it was stuff like that. I was like, that doesn't make sense. And that was probably the only thing that was a really stood out for me as far as like, you guys should have done better about this, but they, you know, they just couldn't, I think, as far as conflict goes.
Yeah. Back to the part about like Barley being a father figure. So I think Ian learning the spells was like a metaphor for like Barley teaching Ian how to ride a bike, and like how to like these were trials to in a lot of ways like teach Ian assertiveness and confidence.
Yeah, things that he was never really good at.
Mm-hmm.
Ian's a complicated character, okay? Barley's not. Barley's the least complicated character in this whole film, except for maybe Officer Bronco.
I think Barley's pretty complicated.
Okay, you're right. He does have like an expanse of different emotions that he shows. So,
because I think like one of the main insights into his character was when they were on the giant cheese puff, and they were talking about like Barley's last memory of his dad in the hospital with tubes in him, and he said he didn't want to see him, and I think that like that speaks to Barley, like his actions throughout the movie and how he approached, or like his character in general, with like his personality and how he doesn't really want to grow up or something. And I think that has like something to do with his relationship or like what he couldn't experience with his father, because Ian probably wasn't even born, right? So
that's my thought.
Yeah, so it's been like 16 years since he's been with his dad, you know. And that probably has some effect on his character
and like emotional and like just intelligence, maybe,
because Ian like seems more put together than Barley, probably because of his lack of knowledge of even having, or like he didn't like no experiences of with his father.
Right. So you probably just like, I don't know. Here's my thoughts on Ian. Okay. So he is like, he's kind of pitiful in a lot of ways. Like he doesn't, you know, he doesn't take charge. He doesn't know how to speak to his friends. He doesn't really have friends. So he's very, very independent, or he is so closed off and in his own self-woe and self-pity that he just feels like total crap. Like he's got the worst self-esteem of anybody, because he may do it on purpose, like close himself off, or he may not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, perhaps what the movie was trying to convey was that because Ian didn't have his father, he didn't learn those traits from him. So that's why Barley, you know, through these trials, learned those traits from him, you know?
Hmm. Like to be able to move on past his father. Yeah, now I see it. Like he was able to grow up. Barley was able to grow up, and Ian was able to conquer his fears.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so I was like crying during the whole scene. It was like my whole face was wet. I was just like pitiful in the very back row of this movie theater. And it was like, as soon as Barley came on, he said something ridiculous, and I just started like bubbling snot out my nose laughing. It was too funny.
So do you want to talk about the ending, or do you want to talk about a couple more of these points before we...
We haven't covered the Manticore yet, so I don't know if you want to talk about her. She's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite characters. The Manticore, voiced by Octavia Spencer. She was pretty cool. Like, she owned a restaurant, and she used to, like, guard maps, and... The clever thing was that if you've ever been to like one of those chain restaurants, like dine-in places, where they handed you like a piece of paper with some stuff on it and some crayons, and it would have like a maze or something on it, some games, like the map was just like was now this little fun kids thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
It was cute. And the fact that like little Lizzie or something already solved it for him, it was really cute. I like the idea of her tavern and it being like, I was really hoping it was gonna be like a really cringy, like rough tavern, but then it turned into this like TGI Fridays where they all sing happy birthday, and I was just like, ugh, immediate headache.
You know what could have been cool for that for the restaurant? So you know how Applebee's used to have those knickknacks and stuff on the walls?
Oh yeah, so much of it.
What if they had, like, in this world, that's basically an Applebee's, but instead of like knickknacks and stuff, they have different like magical things and stuff. I think that might have been kind of cool.
I'm so sorry. These guys are insane outside. Yes. And like, you're really not supposed to touch anything on the walls either. So like, it would make sense if you put magical stuff on the walls of a place like this, and like, you're not supposed to touch it.
Mm-hmm. Tybo can basically help you slay dragons.
What is Tybo? I was wondering that.
Tybo is like a fit, like a VHS series from the 90s with this bald black guy. Has like a harem of women behind him, and they do different exercises.
Oh. Is that what the mom was doing?
Yeah, it looked like it.
Yeah, she was B.A. She could kick butt.
Yeah, the action sequence was pretty cool with the sword and the manticore and the magic stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yes, the women in this were awesome. The men in this were awesome. I think there was a fairly, like, almost 50-50 of, like, seeing the men and the women in this movie, too. It wasn't all about the boys, which is really cool. You know, they get to have their own side adventure for the women. and they kind of learn stuff about themselves. Mm-hmm. But can we talk about the real tragedy in this film?
What's that?
The tragedy of Guinevere.
Oh, why did you have to remind me?
I'm so sorry. Guinevere, she was so cool. Well, you know, as far as like an old van with a unicorn on it can be, but the one joke that got me in this film that I was like, I cannot stop laughing at was the, instead of D for drive, it was O for onward. And I was just like, I just couldn't stop rolling my eyes so much and laughing at the same time. It was such a good joke.
Oh, really? That's
yes. That's what got me.
Well, that's funny. What got me was when they put the car into onward or like drift or whatever, and it was rolling. It like hit a rock and it like, the tire flattened and it looked like it was galloping.
Yes.
And yeah, that was pretty cool. And the paint job on the van is of a Pegasus or something like that. And it like flew. And it like, yeah, it got crushed. That was pretty sad.
Yes. Poor Guinevere lived a somewhat okay life.
Probably bad life. It didn't look like it was, well, maybe it was just old, but people have like old cars from the 50s and they still in pretty good shape, so I think that he just didn't take care of it.
I keep wanting to say mild life, just like a very mild. She existed.
I mean, I'm sure Barley took as good a care as he could, but like he probably didn't have the money to like maintain it as well as he would like.
Yeah. I don't think they ever mentioned him having a job of any sort.
Nah. Nope. I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but the boys essentially waste their time. Like the goal was to get them to the gym so they could spend time with their dad, but it's ironic because they ultimately end up not really spending time with their dad.
Yeah, which is a total bummer. I think that's what makes this movie so, like, heartbreaking. Because they had this one chance. Wait, couldn't they do it again, though? Potentially? Like, why didn't... Okay, hold up. Now I'm thinking of something else. Couldn't they have saved the Phoenix Stone for the next day, right? And brought him back again?
The spell could only be cast once, period.
It's like once per person.
Yeah, once per person.
What if it had a stipulation of once per person per day and they just didn't read that part?
What if the stipulation was because, okay, never mind. I was going to say since like, okay, so the first day they have the first half, like the bottom half of their dad, but they wait and then On the second day, they spend the top half of the day, or the top half with their father. On the next day.
I was thinking, holy smokes! Okay, I cannot wait to move. Oh my gosh, this is so bad. It's really nice outside right now, so that's probably why everybody's out on their bike. But I was thinking that's like a whole new meeting to a stepdad.
What? Because he has legs.
Because he's a half a dad. It's like a step below dad.
I thought it was because he was legs, so he was literally like a stepping dad.
You know? Oh my god, that's even better. Why didn't? Oh my gosh, that's so much better. Yeah, that's a stepdad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
All right. I'm gonna go somewhere else in like the next few months, and no, I want no sirens on my recordings, and I want no revvings on my recordings. None of that. I don't want to hear any of it.
You have anything else?
Let's see. Well, gelatinous cubes are scary, no touchy. Also, all of the homes are mushrooms, and I didn't notice that until the very end.
Yeah. Yes, back to the cube thing. Something that got me wondering was when they needed to, like, push the bottom thing to make the to open the top thing so they wouldn't drown, right?
Yes.
They like, sent Dad down there. But I kept thinking, is, like, your lower half heavy enough to sink like that?
I mean, he doesn't have any air in him. Presumably. Maybe. His shoes looked pretty heavy.
You know what? He probably did tons of squats and is just, like, he has, like, tons of, like, muscle mass and just sank down.
He's not. He's got zero fat.
Yeah, that's right.
But then I was also, you brought up a good thing that made me think of it. It was like, wouldn't he get locked down there? Like the legs?
No, they pulled him back up. Like he was like attached to a dog leash.
But the door didn't close as soon as he pulled off of the lever. You see what I'm saying?
The door didn't. Maybe since they were able to, okay. Yeah, you're right. Are you sure it wasn't closing?
It didn't close. No, not once all the water was full. Not once they were sitting out on the very top. But maybe that's just like a trigger too. Like you gotta wait till it's completely full. I'm just gonna assume that, so I'm not digging too much into it.
We kind of didn't talk about like the main punch of the movie yet. Of how Ian didn't really get to meet his dad.
Yeah, I was pretty content with it because of how he resolved it in the end, how Ian did. You know, he resolved it by allowing Barley to say goodbye to somebody who he knew, because Ian never got to see his dad, so he doesn't know what it's like to have a dad, but Barley did. And that was very, very brave of Ian and very mature and wise of him to do.
And Barley got like one last good memory with his dad. That's good.
It was really very touching, you know. It's too bad about Ian, but he did the right thing. He knew what was right.
Sure did. He's got gumption, that kid.
Yeah. He's a good boy. Just like that dragon.
Yeah, the dragon. So, I guess the dragons are basically like wolves, and how over time they became like less savage and stuff, and we bred them to like be more subservient. So that's kind of cool.
Would you want a pet dragon?
I'm sure it's just like having a dog, so yeah.
And then you can kind of use it. It's kind of more utilitarian than having a dog, because if it can breathe fire, you can take it down camping trips with you.
Yeah, but the cool appeal of like having a dragon is like flying on them, and I'm not sure if they're big enough to fly on.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
But the fire thing is still pretty handy. Yeah.
I guess it's all a bit. All you get.
Is that all?
I think that's it. Unless there's anything else you would like to add.
That's it for me.
All right. So for next podcast, we will be talking about a very, very cute stop motion animation called Rilukuma and Cairo. And it is on Netflix if you ever want to watch it and you want to kind of catch up with us. Otherwise, we will see you soon on all of our platforms. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. Hope you liked it. Come again.